It's been a few weeks since you first noticed a certain pattern emerge in one of your friendships. You've been trying to convince yourself that it's not a big deal and that it's not worth it to even address. But over time, you're realizing that your silence on the issue is costing you in more ways than one. In today's episode of the Friend Forward podcast, I'm sharing four questions that you can ask yourself to see if your conflict avoidance is becoming an issue. And the questions that I'm reading for you today are coming straight out of chapter 4 of the book, Fighting for Our Friendships, which comes out on May 7th. If you have not yet pre-ordered, we are asking you to do so that you can claim 3 pre-order bonuses that are exclusive to women who order early. You have 7 weeks left at the time of this recording. So if you are currently struggling with whether or not to raise an issue in your friendships, then today's episode of the Friend Forward podcast is for you.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Friend Forward podcast, powered by BetterFemaleFriendships.com. I'm Danielle Byer Jackson, a friendship coach, educator, and author of the upcoming book, Fighting for Our Friendships. And it's my job to share the science of women's conflict and connection. So when it comes to the joys, complexities, and misconceptions surrounding these kinds of relationships, I am here to help you through it. Although it's typically people pleasers who are known for having a tendency to avoid conflict, this behavior is not necessarily exclusive to that group. So for me personally, I've never identified as a people pleaser. I don't really, it's just not my thing. However, do I have my moments? Yes. And it's highly dependent upon who I'm with, right? Or the situation, the circumstances, what I think the costs or risks might be of speaking up. Right? So it's very situational and the context fluctuates depending on the person who's in front of you, right? Because if I'm trying to avoid conflict, it's likely that I don't want to displease this person. I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to risk looking like I'm difficult. There are so many reasons we avoid conflict. I go into it specifically in my book, Fighting for Our Friendships, which comes out on May 7th. And some of those are individual, right? So maybe based on the relationship we formed with conflict itself as we were growing up. And some are like cultural and societal for why women as a group find themselves being more conflict averse than men. Okay. Again, it's all in the book. I would love for you to pre-order betterfemalefriendships.com. Okay. But today we're specifically going to talk about 4 questions you should ask yourself if you find yourself going down this path. Now, I think we intuitively know that it's dangerous to be a woman without any relationships. We wonder about the woman without any friend. We're looking at her as our greatest fear realized. Do we view the friendless woman as a social pariah? And does a paralyzing fear of sharing her fate drive us to stay in even the unhealthiest of friendships? Because if we're avoiding conflict for the main reason of, I don't want to be by myself, I don't want to be without friendships, so I'll just endure so that at least I have somebody. Okay. You might find yourself in this particular situation. And again, as I reminded you in the intro, what I'm sharing with you today is literally from the book, Fighting for Our Friendships. I'm reading directly from pages 76 through 78. I know some of you got advanced copies because of certain programs you are in and certain bonuses we've given. So if you want to follow along, boom, there you go. But if you have not yet ordered, the link is in the show notes. So I'm specifically talking here to the woman who is avoiding a conflict, maybe right now, this moment in your friendships, and you specifically know that it's because of people pleasing. Now, if you're like me, you're not really a people pleaser and you tend to be direct, but you still find yourself just kind of hitting pause on whether or not you want to bring something up with a friend. And you're like, these 4 questions apply to you as well. Okay. So here's how you can take inventory of your avoidance. You're going to assess the damage or the consequences of suppressing your issues and needs by asking these questions. Here's the first one. Who else is indirectly suffering as a result of my avoiding conflict with a friend? So for example, while you're sitting in the space of tension or being perpetually irritated by something she's doing or not doing or whatever it is, do you find you're consistently venting about it to other people? So for example, maybe your partner, your sister, your friends, do other people in your network get less of you because of the energy that you dedicated to avoiding an open address of concerns with this particular friend? So for example, are you so invested in this issue that you're spending less time with friends?
Or do you feel almost like emotionally burned out? Like not being able to show up to offer emotional support to friends because you're already at the edges, the fringes of your capacity because this other issue with this one particular friend is taking up so much space. Do you find you're not giving attention like you ought to other people in your life because you've been so consumed by this growing tension with another friend? We have to ask ourselves, what are the stealthy ways that this unresolved conflict has seeped into other areas of my life? And then we have to ask ourselves if it's worth it. The second question I want you to ask yourself, if you're kind of taking inventory of your avoidance, and again, we're talking about conflict avoidance here, not necessarily attachment avoidance, which I know is a context that's normally top of mind when we hear avoidance, because that's like a buzz concept right now is attachment theory. But we're talking about avoiding conflict, not avoiding connection or attachment. Okay. So the second question I want you to ask is, how is my body responding to the stress? And some of us haven't paused long enough to even be in tune with our bodies. And I know this sounds maybe a little woo-woo, and we don't really get woo-woo on the show. I'm like, facts, research, receipts, examples, right? But I want to pause here because it's a real thing, how your body responds to stress. So I want you to ask yourself, have you noticed any trouble sleeping? That tends to be the first thing to go. Has your appetite changed? Is it kind of more difficult to concentrate on other tasks? Does your heart race when you get a text from that friend or before you're supposed to meet up with her? Have you been getting headaches? Have you been experiencing other symptoms of stress? I know last fall I was in a friendship situation. Something was happening and I wasn't bringing it up. And it was mostly because we had already kind of talked about it and I thought things were good and I was reluctant to like do it again, right? So we were doing all the right things. We were having the talk, all the things. But before I was able to bring myself to a point of being like, hey, can we talk? Before I got there and I was teeter-tottering, for me, it was stomach issues. And I'm not really one to have like a bunch of, you know, body issues. Thank the Lord for that right now, this season of my life. But I'm like, this is not normal. So for 3 days, my stomach was like perpetually aching. And I said to my husband, like, this is crazy. I know it's not because of this friend stress, but it was. And I tell you, that friendship unfortunately sunsetted. It was the first friendship I've had end in a long time. And I had to go through it just like you do. I'm like, what the heck does this say? But I got to tell you, I was immediately relieved. Sure, there was sadness and some things. I was like, oh gosh, I regret this and that. But I was relieved. I was relieved. The stomach pain went away. And again, like psychologically and emotionally, it was like, man, this is really disappointing, you know, because we had some good times and all that. But the tension in my body stopped. Now, I hope that doesn't discourage you. Like, you know, Danielle, I'm not trying to end my friendship. Well, here's the thing is we don't know what the outcome will be. Some of us are sitting on having a hard conversation because we don't want the friendship to end. And I hear you. The only thing I'm asking is if there's something that's unaddressed because you don't want it to end, where does that tension go? It just lives inside of your body. It affects everything else. So you have to ask yourself if it's worth it. Now, my prayer for you is that the outcome ends up being better than you imagine, that you have a hard conversation. Your friend's like, oh my gosh, she invites you into more dialogue about it. And it's like, wow, I didn't realize that. Thank you for telling me. And your friendship's better than it was before. That's what the research tells us, that on the other side of healthy conflict lies platonic intimacy. So if you've been withholding an open address of something that makes you deeply uncomfortable, yes, a possibility is that it makes her tense and she's offended and walks away. Yes, that is a possibility. It is equally possible that it is the very thing that not only sets you free, but deepens and strengthens your friendship. Okay, the third question I want you to ask yourself if you're currently avoiding a hard conversation in a friendship is, how is your friendship itself impacted by your decision to avoid conflict? Sometimes recognizing the impact of your avoidance on the relationship itself is more difficult to spot. So just think about things like, you know, have you become a little passive aggressive or sarcastic to cope with uncomfortable situations, right? Like if you can't bring yourself to muster the courage to speak up, it's going to kind of present itself anyway. It's going to come out somehow. So we ought to do it the most functional way, right? Because you're kind of like biting your tongue. You find yourself making little digs or saying little vague little things, right? Because you can't bring yourself to just speak directly. You might find yourself sending her one word answers to her texts. And now she's like, what's going on? It may have invited a spirit of confusion into the relationship as she notices your withdrawal, but doesn't understand what's going on. You're leaving her to wonder what's happening because, again, you can't bring yourself to be direct. And then ask yourself, could your friendship be improved if you actually spoke up? That might be a question that helps to prompt and motivate you to do the thing. If there's any chance that things would be better if you said the thing, I say take that chance. And the final question I want you to ask yourself as you're kind of taking inventory over the costs of your avoidance is ask yourself, is this decision to stay quiet in line with my general values about friendship? I know that seems very intense, but walk with me here. If you would say to me, kind of just unrelated, if you and I were just talking, I'm like, you know, tell me about some of your friendship values. Like, what are things that you're like, hey, this is super important to me in a platonic relationship? I'm willing to bet you might offer things like honesty, open communication, authenticity, courage, vulnerability. If you would say any of those things is important to you, then having a hard conversation and lovingly confronting something that makes you uncomfortable is consistent, congruent, and an extension of your values. Because acknowledging attention or bringing it up to her lovingly, that is you being honest. It's you being authentic. It's you being vulnerable because you're taking a risk of rejection, which is what vulnerability is. It's you being vulnerable. It's you being brave. This would be you living out what you claim to value in friendship. Friendship values are not just a nice thing to tweet about or to like talk about. And it sounds like feel good language. Doing it is really hard. But that's where the word integrity comes in, which means my life, the way I'm living my life, is consistent with the ideals that I hold. Here's the thing. We have got to start reframing conflict in female friendship as something that is not a threat to the relationship, but as an opportunity to meet a need or solve a problem. And all of chapter 3 in Fighting for Our Friendships is about exactly how to do that for those of us who do not do conflict very well. But they are opportunities. And here's the thing, I can tell you this. In the friendships where I feel most myself are the ones where I feel very comfortable being like, okay, girl, what did you mean by the comment you said last night? What did that mean? You know? And we can address it and move on. And the ones that feel tender, where I feel like I'm not safe, maybe because of what the friend's doing, or because I just don't have the skill, or because of lack of courage, whatever it is, those friendships do feel more fragile. And I feel like they don't see me as much as the other friends where I feel comfortable doing that. But we cannot keep pointing at other people and be like, well, with her, I can do it, but with her, I can't. And with her, I can. At some point, it has to be something that lives inside of me, that courage to express myself, even when it's hard, and me valuing being seen in friendship. And a part of being seen is elevating my needs, desires, and boundaries. So something that I consistently do regardless of the audience. And it's hard, but it is so worth it. Now, as your new official friendship coach, here's your homework. Listen closely. I want you to think of a time that you did lovingly raise an issue with somebody in your life. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be in a platonic context, even though that would be ideal for this exercise. But at any point with a parent, a sibling, whoever, a boyfriend, whatever, I want you to think of a time that you lovingly raised an issue. Something made you uncomfortable, you needed more of something, etc. And it went well. The person received you well. You ended up getting the thing that you asked for. Sometimes we forget like, man, I've done this before. And we need to remind our brains, not only have we done this before, but this can lead to positive outcomes. I can't stress enough that positive outcomes don't just look like the person receiving you well, and then you getting what you need. That's the ideal outcome. But a positive outcome, walk with me here, could also be when a friend does not receive you well, or she gets indignant, or she, you know, denies what you're asking, or she doesn't want to hear it. I also see that as a positive outcome because you finally said the thing that you need, which takes courage, and you finally got the data that you need to know how to operate and move forward. Because if you finally bring something to a friend and she shuts it down, doesn't want to hear it, you know, all these things, and shows you that it's not safe to give me feedback here, I don't want to hear it. Great. Thank you for that. Because you showed me the limits of our relationship. And I think I might need to invest my time somewhere else. And I'm not saying just cut people off or anything now. But if there's a culture of not being able to get feedback or express a need, I just got some information that I really need to know how to wisely spend my time in friendship and who to intentionally pursue and grow with. That's a positive outcome too. So just think about that. When's the last time you expressed a need and it was received well? Remind yourself of that as hopefully you start to grow in your confidence to have the hard conversation that you have been putting off. If this is something that's especially been top of mind for you, you know I love to hear about it. You can come and visit us on Instagram at friendforward. You know I love a good voice note. Or you can visit us 24/7 at betterfemalefriendships.com. And right now, for I think it's seven more weeks, you have the opportunity to pre-order your copy of Fighting for Our Friendships in order to get the pre-order bonuses. I know you hear this often when an author drops a book, they're trying to get you to pre-order. Well, I'm learning pre-orders are super important. So we have audio courses and all the things that are not available anywhere else, just for the ladies who join us in pre-ordering. Okay? Until then, you know that I'll be right here rooting for you always on your ongoing journey toward better female friendship. Until next time.